Well, originally I was to talk about this morning's sermon topic the day before Independence Day, but as it happened, instead it will be 6 days after Independence Day. I thought that our national celebration of liberty would be a good time to think about the liberty that we have in Christ. So this morning we will think about how in Christ we are set free. When we think about the freedom we have in Christ, the basics are easy, the details are precise, and the challenges are intimidating. So let's get right into it and talk about how the basics are easy, sort of. I'll explain that as we go along. First, let's look at some verses that show that the basics about our freedom in Christ are pretty easy to understand. Here's what Jesus says in John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. That's the wording of the updated New American Standard Bible. It's our Pew Bible, right? We updated our Pew Bible to go to the updated version. And I encourage everyone to have a copy of that updated version, either in book form or electronic form. I was so used to the older free indeed wording that this took me back initially. But we don't use the word indeed very much, right? So I like how the updated version brings out Jesus's emphasis. You really will be free. So the basic truth about freedom in Christ, number one, God's unique Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, can set people free. Really, truly, no other person and no other thing can set people free in the way that Jesus is talking about. No philosopher, no founder of a religion or movement, no leader, no scientist, nobody, just the Son. The key to that freedom that Jesus is talking about is that it's only available through Jesus Christ. Amen? Raise your hand if you have experienced freedom in Jesus Christ. If you've not, maybe you'll find that freedom today. There is a similar basic truth about freedom in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. It says this: Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Apostle Paul, some of you know this, some of you may not, is usually referring to the Lord Jesus Christ when he uses the phrase the Lord. As God is one, existing eternally as Father, Son, and Spirit, the Holy Spirit is also referred to as the Spirit of Christ a couple times in the New Testament. So, basic truth about freedom number two. Here, Paul says that the Lord's the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, in other words, where the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. Before going to the cross, Jesus said he would send another helper, meaning the Holy Spirit. The Spirit abiding in anyone receiving Christ happens at the moment that they receive Christ. Who the Son sets free is truly free, and where Christ's Spirit is, there is freedom. So those are the basics. Christ sets people free, and his abiding Spirit is evidence of that. The basics are easy, sort of. At their heart, the basics are easy, but there are some aspects to that freedom that also need to be explained. Let's go ahead and head back to John chapter 8. Vivian and I were watching a TV show recently, a show taking place in the early 1900s. And a character on the show said, upon a piece of evidence coming out, and the truth will set you free. How many times have we heard people use that phrase, the truth will set you free? It's very common. Well, We quoted John 8:36 before. Jesus says those often used words in John 8, verse 32. But the fuller context starts in verse 31, and we would do well to remember those words. He says, "If you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is really important for us to understand because maybe we share the basic truth with someone. Jesus sets you free. But what if they, you know, come back to us? Well, he's not setting me free so far. I'm still struggling with, you know, whatever they're struggling with. What will we say to them or to ourselves if we want that? These verses are part of the answer. If you continue in my word. This is the kind of if statement where Jesus is saying, if you continue in my word, maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's up to each individual. So we can ask that person, you know, be straight with me. Are you continuing in Christ's teaching? And as I looked at some different Bible versions for this verse, they make it more action-oriented. Like, if you are obeying his teaching or remaining faithful to his teaching. So part of the answer is continuing in Jesus' words, because that's truly being his disciple. And then we see in that verse another part to the answer. Those are the ones, those people are the ones who will know the truth, and that truth will set people free. The idea of being free confuses Jesus's Jewish listeners in John 8. And so they say back, we've never been enslaved to anyone, which leads Jesus to say to them, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So the kind of freedom Jesus is talking about is freedom from God's perspective. We talked about this before, right? That some scripture is written from a human perspective, Others scriptures are written from God's perspective. Talking about freedom like this is from God's perspective. It is a freedom from sin. We can get that kind of freedom from no one else, and his abiding spirit helps us with that. The basics of freedom in Christ are easy. He and only he gives it. It's real, true freedom, but on the other hand, it's not so easy because it takes continuing in Christ and progressing as his disciple in order to experience his freedom more and more. But there are also details that are necessary for us to understand when it comes to freedom in Christ. So let's next see how the details are precise. In other words, they're exact. The mixed adult Sunday school class is going through the book of Acts right now. During Paul's first missionary journey, Paul and his team arrived in Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath, Paul spoke in the synagogue there. Toward the end of his speaking on that Sabbath in the synagogue, Paul said that through Jesus, through him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things. And we might stop there and think, so basically in Christ, I can do anything I want once I'm saved. But we have to keep reading the rest of the verse. Everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. True freedom comes from receiving Christ in faith. It doesn't come from obedience to the Old Testament or any list of do's and don'ts. This is similar to what Paul would tell the Galatian believers in chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. We'll study the book of Galatians starting in September. But for now, in context, Paul's talking about freedom from having to obey the Old Testament law like a Jew. He's being precise. He's making it clear followers of Christ are freed from the Law of Moses. Someone, you know, I asked for topics to be submitted for me to preach on during the summer, and someone has asked that I speak on the topic of our old self versus our new self. Some would say our old man versus our new man. I prefer to say self, and I'll explain why later. So they want me to speak on the topic of the old self versus the new self and how that relates to our battle with sin, since those ideas are connected to our freedom in Christ, what we're talking about today. I think we'll go ahead and we'll look at that old self, new self thing next Sunday. But for now, let me share another detail on our freedom in Christ that Paul shares in Romans chapter 6. It echoes, I think, what Jesus said in John 8. In Romans 6, he says, "The one who has died is freed from sin." It's verse 7. Earlier in chapter 6, Paul said that all believers become spiritually united with Christ in his death. So in that sense, every believer has died. And the one who has died in that way is freed from sin. Think about slaves. Slaves live under obligation. They have to do what their master says. When we are experiencing temptation to do something wrong in God's eyes, we who have received Christ are under no obligation to obey and say yes to that sinful impulse. We've been freed from that. But while that's true, we also have to take into account another detail that the apostle shares in the very next chapter of Romans. After talking about the struggle within himself, Paul says the following in Romans 7:24. "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" The New Century Version says, "this body that brings me death." Okay, so here's the balance we need to maintain. We are not under obligation to give in to the power of sin. But that power of sin is still tied to our physical bodies till the day we die. So we will struggle with that power till the day we die. And that's a reason, by the way, why we have to continue in Jesus's teaching. It's because it helps us with that battle. It helps us with that fight, that struggle. In Christ, we are free from the penalty of sin and free from having to obey the law for salvation. We're free from having to say yes to sin, but we're not free, not yet, from having bodies with their sinful nature. Paul helps us by being precise with the details. And that leads us to the final area that we need to understand regarding our freedom in Christ. The challenges are intimidating. And you may be thinking, well, isn't the presence of our sinful nature challenging enough? And that is a huge challenge. But please listen. God, in his wisdom, believes we can get past that challenge and face several challenges more so that we might best show his power working in us. In other words, that we might best live for him and represent him well to others. So I'm going to share three challenges that I see that God sets before us. The first one is, be willing to sacrifice your freedom. You may be thinking, like, where does that come from? This comes from 1 Corinthians 8, where Paul talks about the possibility of believers eating food that at one point was sacrificed to an idol. He tries to tell them that the food itself is no big deal, but the impact of one person's actions on the conscience of another is a big deal. So Paul says, but take care that this freedom of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Here's how the God's Word translation puts that same verse 9. But be careful that by using your freedom, you don't somehow make a believer who is weak in faith fall into sin. Isn't that good? In other words, be willing to sacrifice your freedom. Now, we're talking about an area of choice, okay? I'm not talking about where something is clearly commanded and where it's, you know, clearly in Scripture. We're talking about an area of choice of something that's not clearly called sin in Scripture. So of the things not clearly written about in Scripture, you could have a Christian and they would think it is wrong to do X. But then you might think to yourself, I don't see that X is wrong, and my conscience is clear on that. But you decide not to do X for the sake of that other person. Be willing to sacrifice your freedom. It's challenging, right? I mean, it's intimidating. It's by no means easy. But out of love for others, putting them first, we can do that. God's made us able to do that. And with that sacrifice, we would please God. The second challenge is similar. Don't misuse your freedom. We looked at Galatians 5 earlier. The verse behind this idea comes from Galatians 5 as well. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. That's verse 13. Through Christ, God has called us to freedom. But we're not to misuse the freedom that we have in Christ by thinking that that freedom gives us an opportunity to indulge a sinful thought we may have, or to speak out bad words, or to do something that we know is wrong. Has anyone here besides me ever rationalized and thought, well, God loves me and he's forgiving, so I can always confess it later? Or, you know, maybe we don't think it through beforehand. We just say or do something kind of off the cuff, you know, which displays a lack of self-control. And that's essentially denying the self-control that God explicitly says he provides for us via the Holy Spirit. God is forgiving, he is patient, he is gracious, but we are not to misuse the freedom we have in Christ. And I think those last words of Galatians 5:13 of serve one another through love have a similar other-centeredness to them as we saw in 1 Corinthians 8:9. Okay, here's one more challenge that I admit is pretty intimidating. Don't use freedom as an excuse. And you can see how those three are connected, how they're related. The verse related to this idea is from the Apostle Peter. He says in his first epistle, act as free people. And that's like, you know, just by itself, you could just say, you know, when you say to a kid, oh, come on, act your age. So here Peter's saying, act as free people. That would almost be enough. But the rest of the verse in 2:16 says, act as free people and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondservants of God. Many Bibles have a really great wording on this verse, let me show you how the God's Word translation has 1 Peter 2:16. Live as free people, but don't hide behind your freedom when you do evil. Instead, use your freedom to serve God. That makes it pretty clear, right? Maybe somebody says, you can't confront me on this wrong thing I did or said. That's not showing grace. Or, I know what I did was wrong, but everything's under the blood. Or the simple, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but... When Peter says, act as free people, he's assuming we understand what freedom in Christ is. The New American Standard that you see up there is the only Bible that uses bond servant or bond slave. It refers to someone who's a slave because of a debt that they owe. All followers of the Lord Jesus are indebted to God for the salvation that he's given us through Christ. So we are to use our freedom to serve God, and you keep that idea of indebtedness in the back of your mind. Here's our main thought for this morning. Christ set us free so that we might live for God's glory. Understand your freedom and use it in a way that pleases God. The basics to freedom in Christ are easy, but in practice might not be so easy. And there are precise details to make our freedom clearer. Plus, there are challenges to having freedom in Christ that seem intimidating. But God is confident, brothers and sisters, that in his strength, we can meet those challenges. I've shown you various verses this morning from the Simple English Bible called the God's Word Translation. I thought to end that James 1:25 and the God's Word Translation really brought together a lot of what we've looked at this morning. I admit that there's a lot for us to think about and to take action on. With that in mind, let's look at what James wrote, and then we'll pray. James says, "The person who continues to study God's perfect teachings that make people free and who remains committed to them will be blessed." People like that don't merely listen and forget. They actually do what God's teachings say. May that be true of each of us. As we get ready to celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, take some time, think about some of what we've talked about this morning as we celebrate together. But first, let's go ahead and pray. Well, Father God, as I think about the nation that we live in, as I think about the United States of America, we may have an unprecedented amount of freedom that we have in this country compared to any other country, really, like at any other time. And Father, even when I think about a country that we admire, that some would be descended from, like the UK, even they don't have the same freedom of speech that we do. So we have experienced in this life, Lord, so much freedom, and we're very, very used to it. But Lord God, we're talking about this freedom that we have in your Son. And Father, we would say that it's not that difficult to really understand the basics regarding that freedom that we have in Christ. And we're grateful that the details that you provide that let us know we don't have to, we're free from having to obey Old Testament laws like those Jews did. And this is something that enables us to live, you know, for your glory, and that should be our desire. And so you provide this freedom that is challenging to us. It's intimidating to us to think about some of those things that we have to do, to be willing to do, like possibly giving up our freedom for the sake of others, or to think that we're not to misuse that freedom, or we are to not use it to cover up a wrong thing that we would do. But I pray, Father God, that as we understand this, that we would have a willing heart to examine ourselves and what we're doing and how we're thinking about our freedom in Christ, and instead that you'll speak to us about what we need to do in light of this, how we would have to put it into action so that we really would represent you and really glorify you in the way we live our freedom out. Thank you, Father, now as we get ready to celebrate and think about all that Christ has done for us to even make us free. And we thank you in his name. Amen.